high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside Derby!
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Toffee Blues podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by James from Babylon Blues and also Terry, obviously a regular on the channel. In this episode, we've got the extra time from Everton's 2-1 win over Leeds United at Elland Road. We'll be previewing Everton's game against Manchester United at Old Trafford. And of course, we've got the start and 11 lineup showdown between Terry and James to round the show off. Hope you all enjoy it. Let's get straight into it. Today, we're talking about Everton's match against Leeds. Last night, a 2-1 win at Elland Road for the Blues. Obviously joined by Terry, who joins us pretty often for these match reaction videos, and James from the Babylon Blues podcast. James, thanks for coming on and chatting to us, mate.
Yeah, no worry, lads. Hope you're all right and doing well.
Yeah, yeah. Good to have a couple of different people every now and then on the podcast, and I'm sure Toffee Blues John will remember to leave all of James's links in the description, so you can check out the Babylon Blues podcast if you haven't already. But yeah, we're talking about Leeds United and about Everton's win last night. Pretty big win. Terry, I'll come to you first. What did you make of the result and the performance as well?
Great results, great performance, especially in the first half. It was frantic, wasn't it? Like the highest paced game I've seen, you know, all season for any team. It was just non-stop, but executed a game plan really well. You know, scored some good goals and, you know, coped with what must have been the worst pitch I've ever seen to play on. It was ridiculous.
And after the game is finished, I put in the group chat, the Toffees take all 3 points on the ice rink. Awful pitch. I mean, it looked great, didn't it? Like when the teams got to turn, I thought, Jesus, this pitch looks like first day of the season sort of conditions. And the amount of players slipping over was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Andre Gomez lad tackled Marcelo Bielsa, so it's how bad it was. But yeah, they coped. Like, it was affecting both teams, but Everton sort of dealt with it a lot better. They, you know, we had players in our team that looked after the ball a little bit better than theirs did. Like, they're mad, aren't they? Let's be honest. They fly at you at 100 miles an hour, but they leave gaps everywhere at the back.
But like, if Red Bull was a football team, that's what I'd compare them to.
Yeah, well, exactly. They're just all over the place, you know, very dangerous. They almost like scored quite early with what would have been an unbelievable goal from that volley from their corner, hit the post. I also may have had it, but would have been some goal. But then, you know, we reacted. Andre Gomez has hit an unbelievable, you know, upfield pass. He's, you know, the weight and the precision on it's unbelievable. Got him. Luca Dean gets himself that little yards of space, whips it in, and there's Sigurdsson just, you know, channeling his Davy Klassen late run into the box.
Yeah.
It's all he ever did. We can't take that away from him.
Was a good goal from Sigurdsson, to be fair, yeah. And we'll talk about it in a bit. James, same questions to you, mate. How do you feel about the game last night?
Yeah, I thought it was as was mentioned. I think it was frantic, 100 mile an hour, just what you expect when you're playing against that Leeds team. And I mean, the pitch was awful. I didn't really notice it too much in the first half, but then I started looking second half, and I think I counted 24 players slipping over. During the second half, it was just mad. There was one point where two Leeds players like simultaneously fell over. It was just mental. But yeah, for first half, we played on the front foot and gave it as good as we got for majority of it, like, which is what I'd like us to have done against that Leeds side. And we mixed the pragmatism with a bit of, I think that's why we ended up getting 2-0 up. And I said at half time, the last thing you want to do is concede a silly goal early doors, which obviously we did. But then we sort of showed that pragmatism and held on to it in the end. And yeah, I think it's a really good win. And that when we played them the first time, I would have said going to Elland Road was going to be a nightmare. But no, I was really, really pleased last night.
Yeah, same. Stuff, lots and lots of positives, a few negatives in there as well. You know, I don't want to be too negative. We always want to be positive when we talk about a win, but coming out and starting the second half a bit slow, really disappointed me, but we defended really well in places. And yeah, a couple of players put in absolutely standout performances. Terry, you mentioned there, Gylfi Sigurdsson's goal. I was laughing because I was on the match reaction with Paul after the Newcastle game, and 50% of that was just absolutely slating Gylfi Sigurdsson. And then he pops up with a goal early doors. And obviously, you mentioned there the early run into the box, the late run into the box, even. What do you make of his performance? Because I was quite pleased with him last night. I thought he did a lot better.
Yeah, he was a lot better than the previous week. He seems to be like that this season, where he has like a good game, then a few bad games, and then a few good games, then a bad game. He's got no level of consistency, but you know, fortunately, last night it was one of his good games, and he wasn't just, you know, the goal and the corner for the second goal. It was Calvin Phillips, which he didn't do in the home game. Like, he just got to run the whole match at Goodison, but yesterday, you know, like he followed him around the pitch and stifled his influence. So I think it was one of the better games for Gylfi Sigurdsson, and I'm one of his harsher critics as well. I mean, I know there aren't many people who, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt these days, apart from Icelandic Stato. But yeah, I thought he was great. You know, he deserved a goal, and he got the, I think he goes down for the assist for the corner as well. Yeah, good performance from him.
Yeah, another nail-biting one as well towards the end. Hopefully, one of these days we get a game where we just absolutely polish a team off in the first half and we win about 4-0. I want to talk about Robin Olsen as well, because I think majority of us now are in the opinion that Olsen needs to play. James, I'm interested to get your opinion on Olsen, because he was really good last night. And do you think he should play from here on out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that triple save is just ridiculous in the second half, and that's what wins us the game ultimately. I thought he was quite competent in the other areas of his goalkeeping last night. So I was pleased with Robin Olsen. I think going forward now, he's got to be in number one certainly for the next few weeks, how he gets on. I think it's good though, having competition between the two goalies. I don't mind him sort of swapping in and out at times if it's getting the best results for us. So I think that's probably where we are at the minute, because we've got an expensive goalkeeper there in Pickford, who looked really good when he first came in, I thought, and now he's obviously been on a bit of a decline, and we sort of saw that with the Leicester game, where I think he'd done all right up until that point. But yeah, I think sort of errors like that aren't gonna run with this manager. Whereas I think Martinez was letting Tim Howard get away with murder a few seasons ago, wasn't he, before he brought in Joel Robles, I seem to remember. So yeah, absolutely, I would start Robin on the weekend of affairs, regardless of whether Pickford's fit, injured, in form or whatever. So I think if he has three games on the bounce, we can sort of look ahead from there. And yeah, I'd be more than happy if he stays in goal from here on in, because I thought last night he essentially won us the points, really, didn't he? So
yeah, I think in a season like this where it's all to play for, we can't be compromising on the goalkeeper. I think we need to just be playing whoever's the best option at the time. And for me, Olsen's the best right now. Teddy, your opinion on that one as well? I know you're a Robin Olsen fan as well.
Yeah, it's not even the triple save, and like, you know, that was, you know, really good from him, but it's just the basic things like coming to catch a ball and, you know, like commanding on a corner or something like that. It's just the boring safe stuff which we don't get from Pickford. And I want to see that going forward. I'd like to see Olsen keep the shirt, you know, for as long as he's performing. And honestly, he doesn't have to make those triple saves every game. He just has to not throw them in the net. And that's an improvement on the way Pickford's been playing. So I'm very much in the pro Robert Olsen camp as well, like James.
That Leicester game is a prime example for me, because people will talk about how we invited pressure whole game, whole second half, and how Leicester obviously deserved to get something. But Robin Olsen's in goal. I remember, Terry, it'll stick in my mind now for a long time. As soon as that goal went in, we were talking in the Toffee Blues group chat at the point, and as soon as it went in, you said Robin Olsen saves that. And I think it was that one, probably was. But that game, I think, you know, that would have been 3 points for us. I know Leicester deserved something from that. But, you know, we could have escaped there, smash and grab and won that game 1-0. And as well, with all due respect to Jordan Pickford, I think it was the volley that you've just been talking about earlier, Teddy. There was one point where there was a shot and it just went over the bar, and instead, and it was there, but the keeper had it. And there was, and Robin Olsen just put his hands up and touched the crossbar and it went over. And it's crazy because I just sat there and thought, God, how great is it to have a goalie who can touch the crossbar? And I think, as you said, it's the commanding side of him. It's the easy stuff that he does well. And if you're going to win stuff, he's got to be in goal because he's going to probably save us more points. And I think me and Paul were talking about it as well. He hasn't threw the ball in the net yet, so why is he not playing every game? James, the away form's been outstanding this season. I think that's 7 away games so far this season. We've won 4 on the trot. First time since 1985, we've won 4 away games on the bounce. Brilliant, isn't it? Makes a nice change.
Just for James, yeah. It's just nice to have a keeper whose feet touch the floor when he sits on the toilet. It's just... I'm sorry. Just keep all the angles safe. Sorry, yeah. James, go on.
No, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I mean, the away form has been unbelievable. I didn't actually realise until last night how good it's been when they mentioned that we won 4 in a row for the first time in, you know, 30 odd years. But I think we posted on our Twitter a few weeks ago that we've won now as many away games under Ancelotti as we had done going back to, I think, Ronald Koeman's first or second away win. I think in that time, because we had that long stint under Silver, didn't we? We didn't win one for ages and ages. Obviously, I know we had Duncan, Unsworth and Allardyce, etc. in there. We only won a couple between.
I think he's won, Ancelotti's won more away games than Koeman and Silva combined in 30 less games or something like that, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's meant. I mean, obviously the stats are slightly in favour of Ancelotti because we haven't played any of the big teams away from home yet, other than Spurs, haven't we? So that's when that's going to be really tested. But I think I speak for all, and I say it's just a massive shame because I know loads of people who go up and down the country have been to some of the worst away games over the last few years, and they're not there to see any of these games, which is a big shame. I imagine it would have been great at Leeds last night, for example, or that Spurs one, or Wolves, you know, loads of really good away days that we're missing out on. But yeah, long may it continue. And as I say, the big tests now are going to be Anfield, the Etihad, Old Trafford on the weekend. You know, they're going to be the games where I truly believe the away form's turned around. But for now, it's just nice to win the nitty-gritty games, the ones that aren't sort of the headline makers. So yeah, really, really pleased with that.
Yeah, and you mentioned there, obviously, Man United at the weekend. Stay tuned for to the channel, guys, because me, Terry and James will be previewing that game as well. And, you know, talking about the away form, we can't really talk about the away form without talking about how good we've been defensively, Terry. We've been like Italians in defence. I know that sounds cliche with Carlo in charge, but the entire back four, or, you know, you want to throw Luca Dean in there and call it a back five or whatever. You know, it was just outstanding last night, wasn't it? Mina, Godfrey, Holgate was a bit iffy at times, but they were all pretty good, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you said that about the away form, and it applies to this as well, the style of play. Teams are reflections of their managers. Like, I've never been more certain of anything now in my life. When you have a string of weak managers, you get a weak team. That's why we couldn't win away from home, because Marco Silva was a weak manager. Koeman's a weak manager. He just was a great player, so he's well marketed. Allardyce, you know, he is what he is. Now that we've got an actual strong manager, we've got a stronger mentality, and you can see that in the style of play. Where, you know, someone like Pep Guardiola, his team and all of his teams play the Pep Guardiola way. There is no, you know, Carlo ball. There is no style of play for Carlo Ancelotti. His signature is pragmatism, and that's what we've become better at. We, you know, playing different players, rotating different, you know, formations. You know, Luca Dean's on the left of midfield sometimes, and Godfrey's at left back, and we've got Holgate at right back, and, you know, sometimes we've got James on the right of midfield, sometimes he's in the number 10, and that suits us. We've turned into Carlo's Everton, And it's you've seen the improvements in performances and results off the back of that. We've become a lot stronger defensively because it's, you know, it's a cliche, but top Italian managers typically are always built on defence because it's part of their football and heritage, but there's so much more to them than that. And this is the type of squad that Carlo's working with, that he hasn't, you know, his key men are, for the most part, his defenders. Like, you know, he's obviously got Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, James. But if you look at the other key men in this team, they're all strong defensive players. You know, Godfrey, Holgate, Keane, Mina, Luca Dean, Coleman's been important this season. He's even using Decore. Decore's not been this marauding box-to-box midfielder that we thought he'd be. He's been sort of, I don't know what to call it, like, I suppose a pivot or like the linchpin in the centre of midfield.
He's a bit of everything. He's been fantastic.
To hold the midfield. So they're the key players, are all those type of players who feed into that type of tactics where, you know, use strength rather than, you know, nice little intricate footballers, which, you know, Martinez wanted us to buy and we kept getting rolled over.
And I was talking to Jay from Stretford Paddock for an opposition view from them, and I just mentioned Ben Godfrey. I just said, listen, mate, if I know he's been in the league for a few months now and you might not have been able to see him too much properly, but this lad is unbelievable. One of the best defenders I've seen play for Everton. The lad just absolutely loves defending, and me and Teddy, I've spoke about him so much on the channel. I feel like I ask you about him every time you're on with me, Teddy. So I'll ask James this time instead. James, try and sum Ben Godfrey up, because it's just, I'm losing words for him at the moment. He's fantastic, isn't he?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Yeah, I'm not sure I mentioned it on our podcast or not, but someone I knew used to play with him when they were younger. And then, obviously, he was at Norwich and they got promoted last season. So when I heard that they were mates when they were younger, I watched him a lot last season and I was impressed with him. But I just think he's gone up another level since he's come here, having watched, you know, as much of that Norwich team as I could last year. Like, he's just unbelievable. I don't know when wingers are going to stop trying to get in behind him or around the side of him, because not only is he quick, well, to say the least, but he's built like a vending machine. He's absolutely huge, and you saw it when he scored and he's like this massive figure at the back of the celebrations. He's just massive and reads the game well, quick, strong. I think he's an intelligent footballer. He's really good at bringing the ball out. That one last night where I wish we'd scored from that, because we'd see that all over the shop, but I'm glad Everton sort of clipped it out and posted it last night. Literally, I've not seen a real flaw in his game yet, and he's still only young, didn't cost ludicrous money. And yeah, I saw a tweet just before this actually that I think summed it up, where I can't believe out of Alan, James and Decore, Godfrey's probably been my favourite signing so far, because he's just been immense.
I saw that tweet as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's mad as well, because I think last night, wasn't that the first time he's played centre-back in a back four in the Premier League so far, I believe. So
I think so, yeah. He was unbelievable. The lad can play anywhere. He's unbelievable. Speaking to my dad about him, he reminds me of that James Charles who you played for Juventus, that Welsh fella from like the 50s, and he was known for playing centre-back and then striker on the weekend. Look him up if you haven't already, because the lad seems like he could play on the left wing at this rate. The way he gets the ball and you just think, yeah, just pass it, go on, pass it, and he just turns and he just runs as fast as he can towards the centre circle. He doesn't seem to get tackled. He seems to be able to play everywhere. He's fast. There's one point where I think it was Rafinha he was up against, and he turned his back to shield the ball against Rafinha, and he kicked the ball back towards his own goal and ran after it as if to be like, come on then, you want to try and beat me for pace? You can't. Just unbelievable how good the start to his Everton career has been. And you mentioned there, James, about the signings we made in the summer, and he's arguably the best. And I think based on just watching this season alone, you can't argue with the fact that he's the best. Calvert-Lewin's back in the goals as well. Teddy, how good's that?
Fantastic. I thought his overall game was terrible. Like, I thought he stunk the place out in terms of his his decision making, but he scored, so it doesn't matter. It's that if you're a goal scorer, if you're playing badly and still score, that's fine by me. But I think he grew into the game a little bit more once he got the goal. I think he was trying to force a little bit beforehand. You know, might have been playing on his mind. And you could just see on his face when he was celebrating that, you know, he was just relieved. And it was just another DCL special, a back post header. Yeah, hopefully that'll kick him on now. And I think it's not the full story when you see his goals out. You go, oh, 7 games he hasn't scored. But yeah, but how many of them was Luca Dean not playing in? Like, so the main assist mate for Dom wasn't playing. We were playing in December with Dom up front and the four centre-backs across the back four, but we didn't have any James or any Luca Dean to sort of provide these opportunities for Dom, so his goals were going to dry up. Now that those two are coming back into the team, you're starting to see, you know, you'll hopefully start to see him score more goals.
Yeah, I was made up. I was talking to Jacob as well from the Toffee Blues, and we were talking about how much the lad needed a goal, and he scored right as soon as we started talking about it. So I think me and Jacob, if you're watching this one, we can take credit for that Dominic Calvert-Lewin goal because we talked it into the net. James, your opinion on that? He obviously needed the goal really badly, and a Yorkshireman as well, making the difference against Leeds United. What did you make of him last night?
Yeah, same as Terry, really. I didn't think he had his best game, and the decision-making for when we saw... I mean, I'm kind of glad now he didn't pass it to Richarlison because we got to see Fuming Carlo for the first time properly. So that was like... It was like something out of a Tarantino film when he was screaming there. I really enjoyed that. But and then at the end, he's got to score that as well. He made an unbelievable run. Decore did really well to slide him in. But yeah, he had to score then, but... No, I think, again, as Terry said, I don't really mind what his all-round game's like. If he scores, and if he doesn't score, I want his all-round game to be good. So as long as he's doing one of the two and we're winning games, then I'm happy with him. And, I'm glad he's got the goal and we can hopefully now get closer to our starting 11 now that Alan's coming back and obviously James, Luca Dean, etc. So I wasn't too worried about the drought or whatever you'd like to call it because of the fact that we didn't have Dean, we didn't have Hammers for some of those games, the team wasn't playing too well in the games like West Ham, that sort of come to mind, or even games like Chelsea where they're not the sort of fixtures for him, where we've got to sit back, same with Richarlison in some ways, our attacking players are a little bit stifled by that pragmatism to win those big games, and we got a lot of points on the board, even though he wasn't scoring. So, no, yeah, I'm really pleased. And if you can get another one on the weekend, then that'd be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and you mentioned Abdoulaye Doucouré did really well. And Calvert-Lewin's got to put it away, but it won't be thought about too much since we won the game. But, Teddy, we saw box-to-box Abdoulaye Doucouré in that moment. Unbelievable. The guy's legs are unbelievable when he starts running. He took the ball on the edge of the box and it was a bit like that Kevin Morales against Stoke. I wanted him to go for it on his own, if I'm being honest. And I think next time he will, after that absolute stinking of a miss from Dom. But we can't dwell on it too much. Everton got 3 points. That's the main thing. Another away win on the board as well. Welcome to us today. We're going to be previewing Everton's match away at Old Trafford against Manchester United. Terry, come to you first, mate. What sort of team do you want to see? Because the performance against Leeds away was a pretty good one. More of the same, or do you think there should be a couple of changes?
I think there will be changes. I think Carlo isn't sort of married to one set 11. He hasn't been for the whole time he's been here. I think he changes things as each opponent comes round to suit them. God knows who it will be because they scored 9 goals last game. So as long as the team's better than that Southampton team that were left on the pitch, that'll be better than United played last time out. But honestly, I could probably see Keane coming back in, Godfrey going to left back, Luca Dean going to left midfield. Might even see James Rodriguez back in this game. You know, add that little bit of extra creativity. But I don't expect to see the same team. I think that suited the Leeds game. I think they might change it up a little bit for the Man United game. how you approach a game against a team who are that good in the previous game, I don't know. But that's why Carlo Ancelotti's who he is. I'm sure he does know.
James, same question to you, mate. What sort of side do you think Everton will link up with, and what sort of side do you want Everton to start with?
I'm really not sure. You know, I was having to think about it before, but I mean, we have a joke over on ours where we say that he pulls the names out of a tombola pre-match, because they, like, I've definitely predicted one starting 11 all season. Like, he seems to have an idea in his head early doors of what he wants and the plays he's going to put in there. I would not have said Andre Gomes or Sigurdsson would have played last night, and they both did, and they both had really good games. So, yeah, I'm not too sure. I would be happy enough to see us go back to four centre-backs, because I think Michael Keane's been unbelievable for us this season. I'd be happy enough of that. And, of course, I'm happy when James Rodriguez comes into my team. But as Terry was saying, if a team wins a 9-0, it's only the third time it's happened in the Premier League. So, I think you go to there, you're their next opponent, you really don't really, that's not what you want at all. So I'm not too sure. I think Alan's meant to be back fit. I definitely wouldn't throw him in straight away, but it'd be nice if he's sort of in and around the squad and come back into full fitness. So if it's the same team, if it goes to the four centre-backs, as long as it's not that that back five we had, I'm pretty content with whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, I think I was speaking to GA from Stretford Paddock, previewing this game with him, getting a more Man United centre preview, and the team he named so attacking. You know, Greenwood, Cavani, Rashford, he expects all three of those to start. So I think Ben Godfrey's a crucial one to bring in, because we're going to need to be able to defend for large parts of the game. It could be another sit back, wait for opportunities, hit them on the break, and try and get something. And obviously teams have gone there this season and got something. Sheffield United, we saw the other week, won there. So there's no reason why we can't. I'd like to see James Rodriguez come in as well, especially after him being rested last night. But obviously we can't talk about it without talking about the 9-0. James, did you watch the 9-0 United game?
I actually didn't know, because we were talking about the, can't remember what I was doing something, and then when it came down it was already 1-0, and obviously that they had the man sent off. So I think we watched the Inter, I think that was the same night. We watched that, and then we sort of channel surfed a little bit, me and my dad, and we watched a little bit of the United game. But I can't believe, coming off the back of that, how little criticism I've seen of Southampton. I know they went down to 10 men early doors, but to lose a game 9-0 for the second time in a year and a bit, I just think that's absolutely mental. And yeah, I think they definitely should have shut up shop in the end. I know they had a second red card, but I haven't watched the highlights. Man United looked on it, and I've seen a lot of United fans who I follow on Twitter, etc., sort of very pleased about how they played. So it's a bit of a worry, but as you say, I think they've lost 5 games at home this season in all competitions. And, you know, we're talking Sheffield United and Crystal Palace. You know, we're not exactly talking the biggest and the best teams in the league. And yeah, but I think if I sort of sat here and said, if this team can go and beat this team, why can't we? You know, look how many teams have gone to Anfield since we last won, or even City, Chelsea, Arsenal. You know, I've seen loads of teams run at the Emirates over the last few years, and we just haven't been able to manage it. So yeah, I don't try and look into that too much. And I just think we need to go play our own game and prove we're good enough to beat the likes of them, because that's how you get into the upper echelons of the table.
We'll all be hoping that we can get something at Old Trafford. I think this is one of our best opportunities to do it, with how well we've been playing away. We spoke about it in the Leeds game. The away form is absolutely outstanding this season. And Terry, is there a little bit of nerves after United's recent results and you know, the performance against Newcastle with us, or are you confident going into it?
No, you can't be confident going to Old Trafford any time. Even when they were at their lower ebbs in the last few years, we still didn't, you know, go there and routinely win or what have you. So now that they, you know, they've got their act together a little bit and they've got a quality team, you know, like you can't say, well, now I'm confident we're going to win. Our away form is really good, but Man United are still loaded with quality. And, you know, coming off the joint record, you know, win in the Premier League ever. And you just, I'm not like nervous going into the game in the sense of, oh, you know, we're going to get battered or, you know, we need to win this game or it's all over. There's a game every 3 days. There's, we'll bounce back if we don't get the result. But I just can't go into this game thinking, you know, oh, we're going to win this because they're one of the top three teams in the country. And I think the table will bear that out at the end of the season. It'll be some variation, I think, of City, Liverpool and Man United. And if we get a result there, if we were to win at Old Trafford this weekend, it'd be our best result of the whole season.
Yeah, for me, I still can't get over how great that Tottenham game was, first game of the season, watching us go away to a big six team and beat them. If we can go away and do the same to Man United, I'd be on a high for a few weeks. It would certainly, you know, it'd probably take me until a derby just about to calm down, just because the nerves of that from that, I'd probably shoot me back down. But you can't, I mean, their team seems to be, going back to the conversation you had with Jay from Stretford Paddock, they seem to have so many players fit. You know, Luke Shaw's having a good season. Pogba's coming to a bit of form. Matic is obviously a good player to screen the back four. How tough will this be with that Man United team, James? Because they seem to have a little extra kick in their step this season for some reason. I don't know whether it's confidence or if Ollie's scared something into them, but they seem to have a little bit of extra swagger about them, don't they?
Yeah, I think this is the best Man United team I've seen since, obviously, the Sir Alex Ferguson days, sort of 8-9 years ago. I think this is the best sort of iteration of them. And as Terry said, there's no, at any point will there be a time when I'm confident going to Old Trafford, just because I watched them swat aside Everton for year on year on year under Moyes. And obviously, other than the Martinez win under Martinez, Koeman, they battered us 4-0 in the second game there. So, yeah, absolutely no confidence in terms of us going there and looking for a win. But I do think they do look quite good this season. But we've seen they're prone to a bit of a lapse. And I think Ollie seems to get the brunt of that when that happens. But, yeah, as you're saying, Pogba's playing well ever since that news came out about him wanting to leave. He's seemed to really kick it up to the player that he looked like he could have been when he went to United. Bruno's obviously been terrific. I think Cavani was quite a shrewd addition. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how we get on there. But, yeah, certainly a very tough game for us.
Teddy, do you think if we can sneak a, you know, if by chance we can sneak a win on Saturday, where does that leave us with regards to, the, you know, going into sort of, obviously we're not there yet, but going into like the running for the season when it gets to sort of March, April time? Because we're getting closer and closer every game. It's easy to forget. We've played over half the season now. If we were to get 3 points there, going with our games in hand that we've got, I think we've still got at least one game in hand on a couple of the other teams around us. How important is that? Because there's so many, like I seen a stat yesterday, if we'd have lost against Leeds, we could have ended up 10th or something like that. So how important is it to get these 3 points and get closer to a team like United?
It's as important as any other game. Like it's the defeat against Newcastle wasn't the end of the world, and a win against Man United wouldn't be the be all and end all. It's a mad season, you know. Think the table and you know everything else can change over a weekend or you know a full week with like three games in it. So I wouldn't get too excited and say that's it. We're getting in the Champions League if we beat Man United. But if we lose to them, I also wouldn't think that's it. We can't get into Europe. It's all about getting that consistent run of games. One game is not the deciding factor for any point this season until it's the last game of the season, because it's so tight that it can change so quick and it can change so quickly. There's no point even stressing about the impact it has because it just changes 3 days later.
Yeah, such a topsy-turvy season. And I just think the mentality thing with going to the top six teams, it's just a massive game in that sense. United have beaten us twice at home this season already, and I still think we owe them one for the cup defeat to them, because I'm still absolutely gutted from that. And, you know, we put a bit more confidence into it. I feel like the signing of Josh King has gotten on a few more fans on side in the way that we've now got someone to throw on if we need it. James, you hoping to see Josh King? Because last night he made what was a 100% cameo appearance. If there was ever a cameo appearance, that was it. You're hoping to see a bit more of him because hopefully he's you know, getting to full fitness now.
Yeah, he looked goose, didn't he, after about 5 minutes. Not an easy game to come into as a forward player, I don't think, because obviously we were backs to the wall just trying to grind out a result. But, yeah, I mean, in a way, I don't know, I could almost say I maybe would rather us not have to bring him on, because I think if we're bringing him on, we're probably chasing a game. So I think if we don't see him this weekend, that's fine. We've got a cup game, and then I think it's Fulham after that. So he's got a couple of opportunities coming up. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of my opinions on him coming in, I wasn't too keen at first because of the money rumoured to be in the deal. But I just think the way we've gone about it, and in terms of the fact that he's coming in for 6 months, and from what I've read anyway, he's not on like huge wage-breaking wages. So yeah, I think he'll be a good signing for us over the next 6 months if he can score a few goals and just, you know, get us up the table with a few extra points. I'm not entirely convinced he'll play on the weekend. As I said, I'd rather him stay on the bench if he is, because I think that would mean we're trying to come from a goal down or whatever. So yeah, maybe not necessarily this weekend, but over the next couple of weeks, definitely.
Yeah, and obviously we can't talk about Man United without talking about some of our bogey players. You know, speaking to Jay about what sort of team he thinks he'll play, he doesn't expect Anthony Martial to play, but I certainly expect him to play and score against us because he seems to in every single game we play against them. Bruno Fernandes there as well has played against us every time we've played them. He's a really top-notch player. Teddy, players we need to look out for. I know there's some obvious ones and the people watching at home probably know as well which ones we need to look out for, but just in your mind, who's United's danger players against Everton?
Well, the obvious one's Bruno Fernandes, but I would rather see Anthony Martial than Edinson Cavani, because Edinson Cavani has already scored against us this season and he's such a clever player. I think he's got the beating of some of our centre-backs with his clever movements and his positioning. Martial, I think we'd have an easier time defending against, so Cavani's the main danger for me, outside of the obvious being Bruno Fernandes, but that is obvious.
Yeah, and the final question that I want to ask, I usually save this one for Owen when it's me, Owen and Teddy, because he seems to have the answer to every single team in the Premier League, but I'll give it to James today. Obviously, we're going to play our game no matter what. Tactically, where are the opportunities going to come for us? Because I expect us to play well in the first half, maybe tail off a bit in the second and try and defend what we've got. Tactically, how do you think we are going to have to go about getting 3 points from United?
I think it's difficult because I can't see loads of holes in this Man United team. I'm a big fan of Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I think he's great one-on-one. But I think, again, reading some United fans, maybe he's not having his best season. So there might be some opportunity there to get in and around him potentially. But I can't say I see loads of holes in this United setup. And I just think maybe winning set pieces, we've been really good off corners this season. As an example, I think that could be really important to how we're going to play. And then just soaking up pressure. Man United will want to keep coming on to us and looking to hit them on the break, I think is probably going to be sort of the order of the day, if you like, because there's always pressure on Man United to win games at home. And when they've already lost a few, I think that could be the one to sort of frustrate them. And then with Richarlison and with Dom and with like someone like Abdoulaye Doucouré from the midfield, just breaking on them. And especially the way with like Luke Shaw's been playing, say he's been getting further forward and I think he's been really good. But I also think him, Maguire, I think they are prone to having the odd mishap and a bit of a breakdown in communication. I seem to remember the first goal Liverpool scored in the cup was just really, really simple. Just a slight ball inside in between them. And I think it was Salah who was in and went on to score. So I think in terms of just the odd mishap or getting in behind, and when we're looking to count, is probably going to be the order of the day, but I think it will be a tough game for us.
Yeah, and I think I'd agree with you there. I think set pieces are going to be important. It's important that we try and get as many goals as we can in the first half. If we can get one or two goals in the first half, it's going to be really important. But yeah, I think we've covered all the bases there, guys. All right, and that has brought us to the end of the episode. Of course, we've got the Toffee Blues quiz to round off the episode. Today, we've got Terry taking on James from the Babylon Blues. Terry's first one in a while, but he's going to be answering the questions instead of asking them. He's handed his Quizmaster hat over to me for this episode, and we are going to be looking at a former game between Everton and Manchester United. James, I explained the rules to you, but we'll go through them again. Basically, starting 11 from the game, name as many players one by one. We'll go to Terry, then to James. And basically, the first person to get one wrong is the loser. And the winner gets to pick a song to round out the podcast episode with. Are you ready, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the game in question today is not a recent one, but not too long ago. From Saturday, the 20th of February, 2010. This is Everton 3, Manchester United 1. Obviously, the 2009-10 season. So, yeah, we'll cue the intense quiz music. Been waiting a while to say that, Teddy.
Very intense.
And, James, you're the guest on the podcast, so do you want to go first or second, mate?
I'll go first.
Okay, so... yeah, we've got two substitutes and 11 starters, of course, from this game. Any of the starting 11 or the substitutes, and you'll have seen yourself through this one, and it'll be Teddy's turn. Also, if you name the same one as someone's already named, that's immediately a loss. So, go on, James, go away with your first guess.
I always get confused between this one. You said the 3-1, didn't you? Yeah.
3-1, Saturday the 20th of February, 2010. Yeah.
I always get confused between that one and the 3-3, which I think might have actually been the same, obviously different season, I think might have been the same year, but obviously I know Billy Aletinov scored the first goal, so I'll go with him as a safe option.
And yeah, Billy Aletinov did play in the game, and he did score Everton's first goal of the afternoon. Teddy, to you, mate. Your next guess is
Tim Howard.
Always the safe one with the goalkeepers. Tim Howard did start in goal, as he did with most of those David Moyes years. He did start most of those games. James,
next up, I'll go for, again, pretty safe. I think Leighton Baines is a safe guess.
Leighton Baines is your guess. Leighton Baines did start at left back against Manchester United. Terry?
Go for a goal scorer, because I remember this, because a mate of mine is a Man United fan, and he was saying, oh, we're going to sign him. But he's glad that they never. Jack Rodwell.
Was a used substitute in the game. He came on and he did score in the 90th minute for Everton. Yeah, I remember that well. Jack Rodwell, good guess, Teddy. On to you, James.
I'll continue with a safe guess and I'll say Dan Gosling. I remember both the second and the third goal especially, so yeah, I'll go Dan Gosling.
Dan Gosling is a good guess again. Another one of those young Everton. At the time, they were quite promising, weren't they? Both him and Jack Rodwell. And they both did play and they both did score on the day. Dan Gosling, good guess, James. Teddy?
Louis Saha.
Louis Saha did play in the game. I think this was the season where he moved to number 8 from number 9. So yeah, he did start the game up front. He was also booked as well. James?
Sweating here, lads. I'll go for I'll go for
Johnny Huizinga.
Either in midfield or in defence again. I think he's fairly safe.
Fairly safe. I remember losing one of these with that guest, James. It was a couple of years after this. But you won't be doing that today because Johnny Huizinga did start in the game. That one's gone in off the post, as Teddy likes to say to me. Obviously, it's always between him and Phil Jagielka, isn't it? So Huizinga, good guess, James. Teddy, your next guess is?
Leon Osman, because he had possibly the game of his Everton career in this match.
Leon Osman did start, and he did play 90 minutes as well. James?
Real. He was unreal. I wasn't the biggest Leon fan, but he was great in this game.
I don't know how you can remember individual performances like that from so long ago. I'm struggling with this season, but...
I'm going to struggle after this,
As I say, I always get confused between that and the 3-3. I think Pienaar did score in the 3-3, but I know he didn't score, but I'll say Pienaar played in this one as well.
Stephen Pienaar did play in the game before his move to Tottenham, this was, and he came off in the 88th minute for the goal scorer in the 90th minute, Jack Rodwell. Jack Rodwell having one of the most productive substitute appearances I've ever seen. He came on in the 88th minute, he got booked and scored. So, Stephen Pienaar.
Up for the celebration, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Steve, I think it was. I think he ran into the crowd, didn't he? Teddy, you got a next guess? It's getting a bit tough now. We're getting down to the last few players.
Right, who have we got? We've got Howard, Baines, Pienaar, Osman, Saha, Huizinga. Oh, I'm going to go with Distan because Huizinga and Jagielka very rarely, if ever, played as a partnership. So I'm going to go for Distan.
Sylvain Distan is a really good guess. Teddy did play. As I said, it's always between them three, isn't it? And then David Moyes is between them three.
If you get Huizinga, you know it's going to be. To be honest, Distan's usually the safest one because. Huizinga and Jagielka, like only on the odd occasion were they ever together. It was always Distan at one of the others. So Distan's the sort of tap in, the safe pass when it comes to this era.
Yeah. Guys, just to let you know, you've got two left. So you've got one each, really. There's two players left you haven't named. You've named both used substitutes, and you've also named nine of the team that started on that game. So you've got two players left. James, can I push you for one?
Well, I'm glad you said Distan because I was going to say Jagielka next. So I'm pretty certain Jagielka wouldn't then have played at all.
Sorry, guys. You got three more to go. Sorry.
I'll go Mikel Arteta.
Mikel Arteta did play the game. He started in midfield. Nice. So you've got Mikel Arteta. Two more left, Terry. Two not easy ones. Can you name either of them?
February 2010.
Mm-hmm. A couple of players in this game who I wasn't like a couple of players who didn't play who I would have expected, and I think I would have been out by now. James, I lost quite humiliating way in my first one. I lost on like the second question, so you're doing really, really well. I think I'd have been out by now because there's a couple of Stonewall names who aren't in here.
Yeah, I was worried about that happening, to be fair.
Is it Landon Donovan?
Ooh, Landon Donovan. Teddy, as... done the equivalent of scoring a screamer there. He's killed it around the wall and he's put it in the top corner because Landon Donovan, I was not expecting either of you to get that one, but Landon Donovan made one of his only starts for Everton in this game. He did start the game. He did play 90 minutes as well. So Landon Donovan. One more name in the starting 11. James, can you get it? If you can, we will go to sudden death.
I wouldn't have said Donovan, to be fair, so
Do you want me to run through the players that you've already named just to?
I think we've got the keeper, the back four, and
so you've got it. You've got
two wide players.
You've got the keeper. You've got the left back. You've got two defenders. You've got all the midfielders, and you've got the striker as well.
Oh, I thought we had whoever played right back then. Oh, that's horrible. So I had to toss up between Coleman, Hibbert, or Phil Neville, isn't it? I'll go Phil Neville at right back. But as I say, it could be any of the other two easily, I think. You have got me here is right.
You're going to go for Phil Neville, James. Right, so if Terry's just done the equivalent of scoring a worldie, James has just done the equivalent of an equaliser in the last minute because Phil Neville started the game at right back. Unbelievable guess that. I would not have said him. Guys, you've got all 11 players and the two substitutes. I can't believe it because I've never seen it go to sudden death before. So, Terry, if I'm guessing right, we just go to the other team, Man United, I'm guessing.
Man United team on the same game, yeah.
Yeah, so Man United team, 2009-10. This game, I didn't win the league this season, I remember it was Chelsea. But I think we're on Terry, aren't we? So Terry, can you name any of that Manchester United team you think started?
Yeah, Edwin van der Star, because I remember the Billy Letzenov goal flying past him. Good goalkeeper, but he couldn't stop that one.
Yep. Edwin van der Sar did start the game for Manchester United. James?
Yeah, I'll go similar reasoning. I'll go, I remember Gary Neville being particularly angry for the Dan Gosling goal, so I'll say Gary Neville.
Gary Neville did start the game. Obviously, famous right back for Manchester United. And you've named both the Nevilles there, James. So, yeah, Terry, next guess.
Scored their goal, Berbatov.
Dimitar Berbatov, yeah, did play the game, and he was substituted, actually. There's three substitutes. Man United used all three substitutes in this game, so there's 14 players of the Manchester United squad for you to name, guys.
I would have said Darren Fletcher scored, but again, I think I'm getting confused with the 3-3. So, I'll go... Park Ji-sung.
Park Ji-sung did play. Yeah, Park Ji-sung. Another player who came off, actually. Yeah, Park Ji-sung is a good guess. Terry?
Wouldn't have got that. Wayne Rooney?
Wayne Rooney, yeah. Wayne Rooney started the game and played every single minute. He played 90 minutes in that game against Everton. Did not score, though. One of his Man United games, he didn't score against Everton. Wayne Rooney, yeah. James?
I remember Rooney, I think he lost the ball for the third goal, didn't he? Foul or something, yeah, and then Broadwell picked it up. My last safe guess is Antonio Valencia, because it was Gary Neville who was having a go at him for not tracking Pienaar or Baines or someone for the second, so I'll go Valencia.
Antonio Valencia did start on the right wing for Man United. Terry?
Michael Carrick.
Michael Carrick. Yeah, you've got another one there. James?
I'll go... Not sure who'd have played left back for them or centre or even centre back. It's difficult, isn't it?
It is.
I'll go Johnny Evans.
Johnny Evans. Yep, Johnny Evans started at centre back for Man United on that day. Teddy.
Only got one more than I'm confident on. I was saving it because it was an outside the box one. But I remember him coming off the bench. With his little ice cube head. Michael Owen.
Michael Owen did come on and make an appearance for Manchester United. So that's one of the substitutes, lads. You've got 1, 2, 3, three Man United starters and two substitutes left. So we've got five players. We're at the equivalent here of half-time extra time where they'd literally just switch sides and have a quick sip of Lucozade here. So, James, can you give me another Man United player from the day?
I've never said Michael Owen in a million years, to be fair. So, again, stab in the dark, I'll go Wes Brown, left back.
Wes Brown did start another one. So you're down to two players in the starting 11 now, and two off the bench. Teddy?
Rio Ferdinand.
Teddy's gone for Rio Ferdinand. Rio Ferdinand did not play. He didn't even feature. Let me check if he was in the squad, actually. But Terry, James, you've won on your very first appearance on the Toffee Blues podcast. He must have been injured, Terry, because he wasn't even in the squad.
I started going for like Carrick and Rooney, and I thought Ferdinand would be like safe up the spine. You know, they always play type of things, but
yeah,
no.
So you could have had Darren Fletcher, who you did say. James scored. He did score, I think, in the 3-3 game.
He did.
Patrice Evra started at left back for Man United, and coming off the bench was Paul Scholes, Michael Owen, and there's one I don't think either of you would have got, Gabriel Obertan. So yeah, that was it. But James, lads, you went the distance there. That was pretty fun quiz. That usually when it's me, I get the first one wrong, and me and Owen, and Owen's just naming the other side, isn't it, Terry?
If it's Bailey,
he
is anyway.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I got lucky with Wes Brown there, to be fair, because I said he would have played left back, because I remember he played left back a lot late noughties, so that was lucky.
I would not have said it, Wes Brown. I'd have said Nemanja Vidic.
You led me up the garden. Well, you led me up the garden path because... Because you said he played left back, I immediately thought, well, who played centre back with Evans? And I just thought, well, it must have been Ferdinand. So, done me.
He had a knack, Fergie, of playing Wes Brown in all different positions along the back, didn't he? But yeah, that's it. James has won. He representing the Babylon Blues. He's won the Toffee Blues quiz. He's come onto our channel and smash and grab performance. He's taken all 3 points off Teddy. James, that obviously means you get to choose any song of your choosing to see us out for the podcast. So I give you a bit of time to think of one. Obviously, when people give you an option for any song ever, it's pretty hard, isn't it? You've got to try and pick one. But have you managed to think of one?
I'll go for Sit Down by James. That's probably my favourite song of all time. So I'll go for that.
Really good. Good song there, proper good feel-good theme, and hopefully it's good luck and it gets us the win against Manchester United on Saturday. If not, what I've just said will have aged pretty badly by the next podcast episode. But obviously, if you have enjoyed it, share it round. Check us out on YouTube, check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Everton Newsfeed. If you have enjoyed it, obviously, as I said, share it round. I think you can like add it to your list on Spotify nowadays, stuff like that. But thank you very much for watching. Thanks to James for coming on as well. He's been a great sport and he did great in the quiz.
Thank you very much for having me, lads. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no worries. Well, anytime, mate, anytime. And obviously, Teddy, thank you for letting me have the quiz master hat for a week.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, hope I did all right. I feel a bit like Jeremy Clarkson replacing Chris Tarrant here.
I don't even know how this happened. I was a contestant on every quiz, and then it just sort of fell into I started taking over the quiz. So it's not like it's always been me.
Well, weatherman Teddy will have to take a bit of sick leave until next week.
It'd be silly game show voice that I put on when I'm hosting. I can't do it any other way.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.
touched by madness. Sit down.